Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the word's testimony: "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard it for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Here ends our gospel lesson. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well is one of the more fascinating, compelling, and challenging stories from our Gospels. I'm sure that you all have, at the front of your minds, the story of the Good Samaritan, a story in which a Jewish man was beaten and left for dead by the side of the road to Jericho, was seen but ignored by a priest and a Levite, fellow Jews, and finally was rescued by a Samaritan, his natural-born enemy, who took him to an inn and ensured that all his bills would be paid. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well draws on the same differences between Judeans and the people of Samaria, but adds a few more juicy reasons why many would think that she was unworthy of Jesus' time and attention. As we read about in our passage from John's Gospel, Jesus took a break at Jacob's well after he was tired from his journey around noontime. Now, I've never personally been to Palestine or the areas around where this whole scene occurred, but I have been reassured by many people who have been there that the Middle East is quite hot. More than that, it is especially hot around noon. Conversely, at night, the dry desert-like condition cools the air down significantly. So it was standard practice for the women who drew water from the well to come get it in the morning instead of the hotter part of the day when this story took place. So why was this Samaritan woman there at that time? Why did she alone come to the well when nobody else was expected to be there? Why did she come when it was hot, inconvenient, and socially abnormal? Why did this woman go out of her way to avoid everyone? Shame. Shame drew her to do her work in isolation, at the edge of the normal standards of society, completing the tasks that were required of her in unusual ways. She came to the well at noon because she did not want to abide the stares, snarls, and deriding glances of all the other women she knew were likely to be there at the normal time of water gathering. She came alone to avoid her neighbors who hated her. We find out from Jesus in verse 17 and 18 of our passage that this Samaritan woman, asked to draw water for a Jew, had been married 5 times and was now living with a man that she was not married to. In our modern day era of non-traditional living arrangements and family structures, for a woman to have had 5 husbands and be working on her 6th is still, to this day, likely to raise at least a few eyebrows. Imagine how much more scandalous this would have been in the ancient Jewish mindset when expectations that marriage be a lifelong arrangement were far more strict. She wore her shame like a garment, so much so that the stranger from an enemy nation could see it all over her from the moment he met her. She drew water at noon, the unbearably hot time to be doing such a thing, because that was safer for her than being around all the other wives who would hold her in contempt, remind her of her shame daily, and make sure she felt like she did not belong in their world. In Valparaiso, Indiana, where my wife Jen and I went to college, the Super Walmart is a very busy place. At least it was when we lived there. When we would go there, we would see folks of all walks of life doing their shopping throughout the week, both for groceries and the myriad of other items one can find in these big box stores. As is to be expected, when we shopped there, we would see several college kids like us who were going to school just up the road. But I would also see the mayor there from time to time, lawyers I knew in town, people who worked in the city, farmers, artists, teachers, and people from all walks of life doing their shopping there on any given day throughout the week. It was a good-sized store with a lot to offer. Not to take a jab at our local Walton family establishment nearby in Polson, but the one in Valpo had quite a bit more to offer. Yet, though I would see folks from all walks of life in and out of that Walmart throughout the week, there was one group of people I would only see during their grocery shopping late at night, say at 9 or 10 in the evening. African-American members of our community. Though I would see rich and poor folks throughout the afternoons and early evenings in that Walmart, more typical hours to do one's grocery shopping, I noticed that the customers who did their shopping in those prime hours were mostly all white people like me. When I would run out to the store to get something late in the evening, though, I would notice all of these well-dressed, middle-class folks who were doing their normal, everyday grocery shopping in odd, non-typical time slots. The only thing different about them, at least as I could tell from the outside, was the color of their skin. Like the Samaritan woman at the well who was forced to draw her water beneath the scorching heat of the noonday sun to avoid the contempt of the other women in her community. Our African-American neighbors in Valparaiso were only free to shop for their groceries in the late nighttime hours, lest they be harassed by racist taunts and prejudicial treatment that was far too common in our college town. I share this to say that the issues that brought the Samaritan woman to the well at that strange time of day thousands of years ago are not so different from issues people still face today. We humble sinners have a terrible tendency to make Samaritans out of each other. It is easy for us to put our problems on others, thinking that if those people were not around or shaped up their acts somehow, then all the world's problems would be solved. The other women who came to that well likely looked on the Samaritan woman as a loose woman, who was just waiting to steal her husband's if she had the chance. Even though she had no say in her divorces that were officially decided by all the men in her life. In Valparaiso, those people were the African Americans who had supposedly ruined local manufacturing towns with criminal activity. At least that's what I was told several times. Even though the people I saw shopping at Walmart in the late night hours, I knew to be kind and decent people, despite the poor treatment that they received from their white neighbors. Many of us here in small town Montana have felt poorly treated as somehow those rural, backwards, uneducated people. This is unfortunate, but too often we respond with all sorts of unkind opinions in return. About Californians, folks on the East Coast, and the federal government for some reason. In many ways, it seems all too easy for us to make Samaritans out of pretty much anyone by turning them into those people. The good news for this week, though, is that Jesus comes to those people at the well and beyond. Jesus told the woman, "Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman then said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is a sentiment that I have no doubt that we can relate to much more strongly this week than normal, as we are being called upon to self-quarantine and practice more and more so-called social distancing from one another, our neighbors can seem like greater threats to us than usual. The notion that we would not need to go out in public to draw our proverbial water can seem like the most blessed assurance. I stopped by Costco in Missoula this past week, and the idea of never having to fight through parking and shopping carts like that anymore certainly seems like a holy notion. But our hope is not in our well-stocked storerooms. Our hope is in the Lord. In times of isolation, we trust that we are not alone, but that God is by our side. In times of social distancing, we are reassured that our Messiah is always near at hand. In times of food shortage, God is our abundance. And whenever we feel like the woman forced to the well amidst the noonday desert sun, because we know that others will treat us like a sinful Samaritan, we trust that Jesus will always have water for us that will never run dry. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.